Hi, this is Doug Podell. Thanks for listening to WRIF Online. Don't forget, while you're online, to check out the Riff Concert page. It's the Motor City's best for complete rock concert information. For more details, just click on the Riff banner on your Windows Media Player.
Merry Christmas from all of us at the Riff.
Spring. This is WRIF.com.
Tired of expensive phone bills? Standard phone service can cost a minimum of $30. And for the unlimited packages, it's anywhere from $40 to $70. After adding all the taxes and fees, the question is it really worth it? I'd like to introduce you to Corecom's new product, Voice Over Internet Protocol, or simply VoIP. This innovation allows you to talk to anyone around the world by using your broadband internet connection. With its advanced features, VoIP is revolutionizing telephone service as we know it today. Even more exciting is that this can all be done at a fraction of the price of traditional phone service. Why would you pay more when you can pay less? If you've got high-speed internet access, Corecom can offer you a package for as low as $15.99 per month. When was the last time your phone company offered you any package options that low? As an added bonus, if you call within the next 10 minutes, Corecom will throw in 1 month free. All you have to do is call 1-866-680-CORE. That's 1-866-680-CORE. Call now and mention promotion code WRIF. Or if you register online, type in promotion code WRIF to get your free month. Corecom, revolutionizing phone service one call at a time.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
Hi, this is Colleen McDonald, president of Holiday Automotive Group. You know us as Holiday Chevrolet in Farmington Hills, Livonia Chrysler Jeep in Livonia, and Century Dodge in Taylor. We know it's never fun to have to bring your car in for service, and worse yet, if you've been in an accident. But rest assured, our service staff is here and ready to help you. To make an appointment, go online at weloveholiday.com. It's that easy.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
We also have special discounts if you need body work on your vehicle and accept all insurance companies. Call us at 866-867-0909 for more information. We're the Holiday Automotive Group. We've got you covered from Downriver to Oakland County.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Here on the Riff, then why not get your Riff Rock to go? Download all your favorite Riff tunes right now with the Riff Music Store online at WRIF.com.
Riff Rock. Rocks.
Every Tuesday, get double shots of the best Riff Rock.
The way you want it.
Double Rock. See, I told you there was a rational explanation.
Two for Tuesday on 101 WRIF.
Riff Rocks.
To the award-winning Night Call, the Riff's phone-in talk show on 101 WRIF Detroit. Our number, 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Welcome to Night Call. This is normally, as many of you know, a phone-in talk show where we get your ideas and I give mine. But I'm recording this because I'm at home, like so many of you are. And since it's a holiday evening, tonight's broadcast is a one-hour program of interviews I recorded previously. The first, completed just about 3 days ago, is with legendary war correspondent Peter Arnett. I think you're going to find it fascinating. The second is a rebroadcast of an interview I conducted earlier this year with my colleague and friend Tom Hartman. Tom's an author and syndicated talk show host. He's going to tell us about how we can, let's put it this way. We the People, this is the name of his book, can take back this country. So no calls tonight. And by the way, there's not going to be a show at all next week. That's New Year's Day. We'll talk again live the following Sunday, January 8th. So enjoy the program, and here's wishing you a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. Thank you very much for joining me. A pleasure to be with you and a pleasure to bring to our microphones someone who really represents war correspondence, exciting journalism, and a dedication to the profession. It's Peter Arnett. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning war correspondent for his work during the Vietnam War. He's the author of Live from the Battlefield and an interesting interview, to say the least, in a brand new book called Feet to the Fire, Media After 9/11, and it's edited by Christine Christina Borgeson. Peter Arnett, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Well, thank you, Peter, and you're very generous in your praise. I appreciate it.
Well, I would right in the introduction to this interview of yours, which is called It's Mine, the whole goddamn story is mine, it describes you as the baddest bad boy of American journalism. Do you like that?
Well, it is, some may see it as an accolade. Yeah, I guess I wear it proudly, but I think there are badder boys around. I think Cy Hirsch and those of his ilk are much badder than I, in the sense of bad being more controversial and effective.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. When they call somebody a bad boy, that essentially means to me that they haven't been a scribe. They haven't taken down what exactly what the people in power have said to them, but they've gone outside the box.
On the other hand, you could say it's like the bad boy of rap, and he's using four-letter words and zapping the police or something.
But
I think it is partly right. But don't forget, Peter, for 40 years I was in mainstream media. I spent 20 years with the Associated Press and 20 with the CNN. And they're both organizations are pretty heavily edited. You've got assignment editors. You've got supervisors. They're dealing with a mainstream audience. So what I'm most proud of is even working within the constraints of the mainstream media, I was able to become controversial, able to do the stories which became controversial. It's hard to do that, Peter, when you're working in the mainstream. There are a lot of factors that tend to dampen down aggressive journalism.
Yeah, and often, is it not, it's pretty much self-censorship. In other words, why bother to write something if you know it's not going to get past the editor?
Generally, it'll get past the editor. But, you know, you had a case just last week. The New York Times held the story on the NSA for a whole year before publishing. That is spying within the NSA, approved by President Bush. That sort of thing can happen to you in the mainstream media. On the other hand, I mean, you've got to look at the mainstream media as sort of leading the charge, say, in Vietnam. It certainly did. And I think in terms of the Gulf War II now in Iraq, the mainstream media is pretty much on the ball. But basically, it is the nature of the beast, the mainstream. You're dealing with sort of the average American, in a sense. You're dealing with advertisers who are looking for something that is not too out of the ordinary. I mean, look in television today, the ratings game. You know, CNN was so concerned about having a liberal label at the time of the Second Gulf War, the invasion of Iraq. It had its executives going to Capitol Hill and trying to explain that they were really conservative in their thinking because they were concerned that getting too liberal a label, which would play into, you know, viewership and to advertising. Rating. This is not a good thing.
You know, when I've interviewed other war correspondents and, like Chris Hedges, and he talked to me that, it was a mix, I've interviewed a few people, I don't want to quote him, but part of it was the desire to be where things of importance were occurring, not even egoistically necessarily, but rather that people should know what's going on. And then there's also the juice factor. How do you in your life, Peter Arnett, balance those?
Well, the juice factor applies to any journalist doing any story. I mean, you start at, say, the White House. There's an enormous juice for a White House correspondent to be sitting and then asking the president, a question in presidential press conference time. The eyes of the nation are on the reporter. I mean, it's on live national television these days. And it applies to the reporter in a small town, looking into a criminal inquiry, with the police. I mean, juice is part of being in the news business. It motivates all of us. As far as I'm concerned, my war coverage began in Vietnam a long time ago in 1962. I was a young reporter for the AP. And as the years went by, I stayed there basically until 1975. I learned how to be a war correspondent. Also in Vietnam, working beside people like David Halberstam and Neil Sheehan and Stanley Kano and Malcolm Brown, the AP bureau chief, I learned the responsibilities that American journalists should hold dear, demanding accountability of governments and generals, getting the facts, no matter how dangerous. And that's really has been what has been motivating me. Now, do I get juice? Of course. In fact, the title of the interview that in this book, Feet to the Fire, was, you know, the whole goddamn story is mine. That's how it's headed up. And that's how I felt in Baghdad in January of 1991, when all the rest of the press corps left the country, most of them, you know, on their own decision to do so. And I was really the only reporter there. I did get an enormous thrill out of it, and my juices were running.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was there to check on what the Bush administration, Bush 1, was saying about bombing Baghdad, avoiding civilian casualties, punishing Saddam Hussein, but not ruining the country, which was, when going into that war, that was the claim of the first Bush administration.
Well, I've never interviewed anybody that I thought that had courage or have guts that I don't think I would have, that would ever admit to having courage or admit to having guts. They say, well, I was there, or, but it must take some level of courage or foolishness or something to, you know, the bullets are flying. The only thing I can imagine worse than being in a war in some ways is being in a war without a weapon. And certainly you're there with a pen and a notepad.
What I learned in Vietnam, that, you know, in a war you have the fighters, you have the soldiers, and then you have the population. In Vietnam, South Vietnam, 22 million people, and the war was fought in and around them. In Iraq, it's, you know, 25 million people. The current insurgency war on terrorism is being fought around them. So basically, as a journalist, you're way ahead of the average Joe in Iraq or in Vietnam, where you can move around relatively freely. You know, you've got a base to go back to. You can get in and out of the country if you want to. You get access to, you know, perks from the military. You can hitch a ride with them, and the average Iraqi or the average Vietnamese couldn't. So looking in terms of the battlefield and the region you're going to, you're sort of got an elevated position. It's not as tough as it would may seem. Now, if you become a hostage or something, then that is another level of risk. But you don't expect you're going to become a hostage. And if you do, well, that is another, you know, bridge to cross. Unfortunately for me, it hasn't happened, but for friends of mine like Terry Anderson, it did happen.
Hmm. International war correspondent Peter Arnett is my guest on the Peter Werby Show. I would have thought, Peter Arnett's probably retired and away from all the dangers, but you live, what, half the year in Baghdad?
I do, and it was, and I didn't really want to retire. I was with CNN, and then I was involved in the Tailwind story. That was a documentary CNN put out about the alleged bombing of an American POW unit that allegedly sided with the Viet Cong, and bombing them with nerve gas in 1971. This is a story in 1998. I was the narrator. And CNN backtracked on the story under great criticism, and the producers were fired. And I was reprimanded, but not fired, because I was basically the narrator, and I hadn't had anything to do with gathering the story, or very little to do with it. But because of my association with that story, and because of my general reputation as being a bad guy,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the critics, CNN basically stopped using me, and within a couple of years I was not working for CNN. I didn't really want to stop working for CNN, but I picked up on other coverage, and eventually when Gulf War II came, I happened to be there doing documentaries for National Geographic Explorer at that time, and segued into covering the war for NBC for part of the time.
And maybe continue on that story. You actually made a remark on television that was very prescient, but didn't go over real well with the bosses at NBC. Can you tell us that?
Well, this is what happened. Basically, I was helping NBC out. I wasn't really employed by them, but it turned out because NBC, the staff had left, CBS had left, everyone, all the Americans had essentially, most of them had left Baghdad the second Gulf War, as it happened in the first Gulf War. So I started working for NBC, doing the Today Show and Dateline and all the rest of it. But over the course of the years, I'd been in and out of Iraq a lot, and I'd been giving interviews to local newspapers in Baghdad, to Iraqi television. This is sort of the thing that we do when we spend a lot of time in countries. I was in the Soviet Union for 3 years. I was not infrequently on Soviet television talking about things. You know, it's sort of, it's something that was not unusual to do. So in this occasion, I've been giving interviews to quite a lot of international news organizations in Baghdad because I'm pretty well known overseas. And I did indeed give another interview to Iraqi television, satellite television. Now, at that point, the Iraqi television installations broadcast within the country had been destroyed, but Iraqi satellite had a signal up. And anyway, I basically misjudged the moment because it led to a storm of protest. Now, NBC initially, when they looked at the interview, which I essentially talked about some of the difficulties the U.S. were having at that time and the potential danger of having civilian casualties as the war grew, they initially okayed it, in fact put out a statement of support, but warned me of the backlash that may come from Fox News and the conservative talk show host.
Peter, let's just locate this real. This is immediately following the current invasion of Iraq in March of 2003.
This was 10 days into the second Gulf War.
Yeah, okay, good. Go ahead.
Halfway through the invasion. So within 24 hours, NBC called and said, look, they'd have problems with their affiliates, they had thousands of emails, and they weren't going to use me. So chalk that up as a victory to conservative media, now, one of the many they've had over the years. But on the other hand, this was greeted internationally, you know, as a just another example of how the Bush administration is just walking over democratic ideals. Actually, it wasn't the Bush administration. They didn't really have any role to play from what I saw in my not being on NBC. But certainly the conservative media jumped in and blew me out of the game. But I did stay in Baghdad because immediately I had lots of job offers. I started writing for the London Daily Mirror, and I did a lot of television for other news organizations. I stayed on. Now I'm writing a book about the 2 or 3 years before the invasion in Iraq, and I'm still in the game, but I'm not covering the daily news story, I'm sorry I'm not doing it, but I'm 70 years old. I guess it's time I bowed out and left it to the younger guys.
Well, in that interview you gave, you said the first war plan has failed because of Iraqi resistance. Now they are trying to write another war plan. Clearly the American war planners misjudged the determination of the Iraqi forces. So it was partly where it appeared, but also it seemed at the time an inappropriate remark to make. In retrospect, it seems to be pretty prescient.
At the time, many others were saying the same thing, particularly the military analysts on the cable news shows, because I said it on Iraqi television. And I was personally shocked when I later learned that, for example, the New York Times had a three-column headline, Peter Arnett Attacks War Effort.
And oh,
I didn't
no.
dream for a minute that anyone cared that much. And then when Walter Cronkite, a man whom I had valued as a friend for 30 years, did a long piece on the New York Times op-ed page excoriating me
really?
For my unpatriotism, I mean, that was a pretty big shock to me. But, you know, as I said, I misjudged the moment. I've got over that, and now I'm doing my thing again.
Why, of all the places in the world, given what's going on, continue to reside in Baghdad? I mean, given your experience, I mean, you have enough in your head, in your notes, in your articles, to write probably 15 books. Why there where life, I mean, it's hard to tell from here what life is like. It doesn't seem like a place I would choose to spend much time.
You know, I am, my problem, Peter, is that, you know, I base my interviews, my writings, my commentaries on facts. You know, I learned that in Vietnam. I remember I'd do a controversial story, and the AP executives would get in touch with me and say, you know, is it true? You know, if it's not true,
yeah.
we can't help you. If it's true, we'll go with it. The truth, Peter, is what it's all about. So if I'm writing a book about Iraq, but how can I find the truth if I'm not in Iraq interviewing the people that I feel are probably closer to the truth than anyone else, and watching how the situation evolves? You can't cover Iraq from the internet, and you can't cover it from Washington, D.C. Now, there are plenty of people writing books, policy books, and academic treatises, but I want to do the book that is going to bring up information that people don't know about. Now, a chapter of the book is that I'm writing did appear in the April edition of Playboy this year, and it talked about Uday Hussein and his attempt to launch a coup d'etat halfway through the war. I mean, it's well documented. It's a factor that he was trying to do it. But that is the kind of information I can get in Iraq that I can't get anywhere else. The other factor of why I'm there is that what place is more important to the United States and to the world today than Baghdad and its fate? And I think, where else would I want to be on a regular basis than in Baghdad?
Well, Peter Arnett, what do you do on a regular basis? I mean, it seems to me, of course, on one hand, daily life goes on, but mostly what we see on television is when there's been a suicide bombing or a roadside bombing of American troops. I mean, is it, I assume it's not like living in Washington, D.C., where you can, or is it where you can go down and get a cup of coffee at the local cafe?
No, you don't go to any restaurant in Baghdad anymore. there are no sidewalk cafes, put it that way. No foreigner, and even very few Iraqis sit outside and have coffee. There are a few coffee shops, but, you know, as a foreigner, you're pretty restricted in what you can do. I live in a small house in the business district. I have a small staff of Iraqis who set up interviews with me. We move around the city to help secure me. I don't have any armed security people, but I do keep a low profile. But it's a very restricted life.
Mm-hmm.
And my journalistic colleagues who live in the Palestine Hotel or the Hamra or have their own locations, they're also pretty much proscribed in what they do. But it's just part of being there. I mean, you expect to hear the suicide bombings. I live in an area in Karada where there were 5 Christian churches within 3 blocks of me. All of them were blown up in a period, 8-month period, a year and a half ago. I work in the presumption that it's not going to happen to me. I'm very careful, but knowing that there could be a problem. Don't forget also that 5 million people in Baghdad. Now, a lot of people are hurt. A lot of people are kidnapped. But there's 5 million, and you can sort of hide yourself in a group of 5 million. That's my theory anyway, Peter, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, I don't want to try to shake it, that's for sure. But what I was going to ask next is sort of that. I mean, are you a potential target either for, like a shooting or for kidnapping, a special target, for instance?
I'm a special target because I'm a foreigner mm-hmm. and an American and a journalist. On the other hand, it is clear from what has been going on, say in terms of the kidnappings, that also the car bombings or the suicide bombings, they're very carefully arranged. I mean, for a kidnapping to be successful in Baghdad today, you have to have maybe the insurgents have 4 or 5 automobiles. They've got to get either to a house or to a vehicle that's moving, snatch the person they're looking for, and escape. And traffic in Baghdad is horrendous. I mean, there's enormous numbers of automobiles brought in cheaply from Europe, basically old secondhand cars and so forth. There's many hundreds of thousands have come in. There's so much traffic, you can't make a quick getaway unless it's organized. So therefore, you have to have a second car blocking off traffic down the road. You have to have an escape route. I figure I'm not important enough for them to try and organize something like that. That's point one. Secondly, attacking my house just to get me by an armed force that would need to come into the suburb and get through the general security and attack me, why bother for just little Peter Arnett? The great danger is being accidentally enmeshed in a suicide bombing around a police station, a car bombing and a government building that you happen to be passing by, or to be around a U.S. military unit that gets involved in a firefight in the center of the city, and they start shooting up all the cars in an endeavor to, put down the attack. They're the dangers. So, I mean, I evaluate that every day and just get through the day that way.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Peter Arnett, the international war correspondent. An interview with him appears in Feet to the Fire Media After 9/11. It's edited by Christina Borges, and I'll have a link to that on my website, peterwerbe.com, W-E-R-B-E. Your interview, a quote from it's mine. The whole goddamn story is mine. What? Why that emphasis? I assume that was the editors that chose that. But what does that say to us or to the audience in those terms?
Well, Christina, the interviewer, chose that particular line, and that was one line in 8 hours of interviews. I went with
right.
So I presume in her and going through the material, she thought that would strike the attention of people.
Well, it does.
I guess she was trying to explain that I'm a very competitive guy, you know, and that I love challenges, and that I could, you know, handle the big ones in a sense, and that I was ambitious. I presume that's what she was meaning. And in a sense, she was right, because since I first started, you know, covering conflicts, crises in Vietnam, and as I said earlier, learned from people like David Halberstam and Sheehan all about what journalism was about, not only accountability and truth-seeking, but also competitive. When I was a young journalist, the AP and the UPI were the most important news organizations on the globe, and they competed with each other enormously because both were feeding all American newspapers, and newspapers around the world were taking the UP and the AP. You know, after World War II, they were the major news organizations. Of course, now it's television has come into the game much more, and the AP, UPI is almost nothing, and the AP is still functioning, but with very low profile. But in those days, competition was important. So we would compete with UPI to get, say, 2 minutes ahead with a bulletin of a breaking story. And I guess that stayed with me to this day. So to some degree, I'm still a competitor. And I think competition is a great element in news coverage because it gives you that extra energy to go that little further to get that extra bit of information. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. In the book, Feet to the Fire, where your interview appears, the subtitle is Media After 9/11. And as you mentioned, all of your colleagues in Vietnam and how they were absolutely despised by the Johnson and Nixon administrations because of what they were reporting, and you as well, there's not really anybody like that anymore. Am I missing some people that are really out there doing, you tell me, with the media after 9/11, are people doing their job to the extent you'd like to see?
Cy Hirsch is still doing his job.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
An example of a man who won a Pulitzer Prize in 1969 for his coverage of the My Lai massacre. And here he is again, you know, doing this remarkable coverage for the New Yorker. I think now it is a much broader field of information, and which really affects the standing of journalists, generally of individual journalists today. In the Vietnam War, there was the AP, UPI, you know, and half a dozen American newspapers who really bothered covering the world, and only the three networks. And don't forget, up to 1963, they only had 15 minutes of news a day. Then they went to 30 minutes, but there weren't many television reporters around the world. So in those days, you know, when you wrote a story for the AP and it got prominence, everyone in the country said, that Peter Arnett, you know, or that Johnny Apple of the New York Times, or that Neil Sheehan, what a great, you know, amazing. Today, look what you have. You've got the cacophony of the talk radio and talk television. You know, you have blogging. Here we are talking on radio to a degree that they never had talk radio
sure.
then. There wasn't even a New York Times op-ed page. Today, academics are prominent. Just looking at one of the interviews in the book Feet to the Fire, James Bamford, you know, he's an expert on the NSA and has
right.
written, you know, The Puzzle Palace. A brilliant writer, reporter. I mean, he's outstanding. Now, they didn't have people like Bamford in the 1960s. Bamford would have worked for the New York Times or the Washington Post, but now he can independently go out and, you know, and write his books, get it published, go on the talk shows, and become very significant. And these days, also, a lot of former government people, you know, get out, like, you know, they get out and write books, tell all books about the CIA or the government. They didn't do that in the 60s and 70s, meaning the journalists, you know, really had an open season. So now it's a much more competitive field to get any high profile. But I think overall the standard of journalism in the major newspapers, and I think in television, is great. My own daughter's a journalist, and she went to Harvard and graduated magna cum laude. She could have done anything, but she went into journalism and has worked for Knight Ritter for 10 years, and is now, you know, doing her own thing. Now she's newly married and she has her own thing going for a while. But the point is, the journalists today are remarkably well educated, and I think they're pretty efficient.
Well, we have just scratched the surface with Peter Arnett, and the whole goddamn story, take a little bit of the title of the interview with him in this compilation of interviews about the media after 9/11. It's called Feet to the Fire. It's edited by Christina Borgeson. And Peter Arnett, thanks for being with me on the Peter Werbe Show.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Peter.
Listening WRIF.com.
Every successful career has a beginning. Have you started yours yet? Turbocharge your opportunities by calling ITT Technical Institutes at 1-800-903-1919. Nationwide, thousands have launched technical careers after graduating from an ITT Tech. If you have an interest in electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, they teach skills that many employers look for. Most programs provide a hands-on education and can help you build your knowledge base and technical skills. Classes meet just a few times a week to help you balance school and your job. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, and career assistance is available once you graduate. Develop technical skills at an ITT Tech and discover a whole new world of opportunity. Call now for a brochure at 1-800-903-1919. That's ITT Tech, 1-800-903-1919. 1-800-903-1919.
This is WRIM.com.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Radio Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsored advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate in the contest. Void where prohibited. Prizes are non-transferable or redeemable for cash. 101 WRIF reserves the right to substitute any prize for one of equal or greater value. By participating in the contest, contestants consent to the broadcast and or publication of their name, voice, face, and or likeness without compensation. Participants listening online at www.wrif.com may receive audio that is delayed by as much as 60 seconds later than the over-the-air transmission, which could potentially affect chances of winning. General contest rules are available online at www.wrif.com or during regular business hours at the WRIF Studios, 1 Radio Plaza, Detroit, Michigan, 48220.
with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Thank you very much for joining me. You may remember, it seems like only a matter of weeks ago, that I had an author, distinguished author, syndicated talk show host, Tom Hartman, on this program. I told him, Tom, you write some books, we'll get you on the air. I don't know if this is the impetus, but it seems like Tom Hartman is putting out a new book every 6 weeks. Tom Hartman, welcome back to the Peter Werby Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
I don't have anything to do with you writing these books, do I? I mean, knowing that you can always get it on here in Detroit. I mean,
that's why I have to do it, Peter. This is the only way I can get on your show, you know?
All right, now I try
call to my publishers and say, hey, get another one here.
Well, the last one we spoke about was the Edison gene about ADD and ADHD.
Right.
But also, we've talked to you about your book, Unequal Protection: The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, ADHD, Secrets of Success. I'm sure, I know there was a couple others as well.
Yeah.
Now, as I would always be with my audience, and particularly with you, always honest, when you told me that you were publishing a book that the fancy name is illustrated book, often called a comic book, I kind of said, what? I got to tell you, Tom Hartman, this really hits it. I mean, to the point where I think about all the dense text that I've been through. The name of the book is We the People, A Call to Take Back America. It's illustrated by Neil Cohn. Is that how you say it? Or Cohn, which is it?
Cohn, yeah.
Cohn. Neil Cohn. And this would take like 10 volumes, many of which you've previously written before, to summarize. Congratulations on this. This is a fine piece of work.
Thank you. It's a really good, clean, solid history of the founding of America, and the big battles between particularly Madison and Jefferson, or Jefferson and Adams rather, and how those battles are still being played out today between Democrats and Republicans, and the differing visions of democracy and what democracy means and how it's different from traditional forms of government, and how our democracy is being stolen in ways that it's been stolen before by, for example, Adolf Hitler and Mussolini, and what we can do to take it back.
Well, you, like, and much like me, people always say we say the damnedest things or the most radical things in the calmest voice, and I was going to bring that up, that it's one thing to see the forms of democracy that were intended to administer this country begin to erode, and they have a different periods, but to evoke the most undemocratic forms of, well, the 20th century, that of fascism and Nazism, that seems to, in many ways, to go way beyond the Tom Hartman I know, the kind of moderate, what is the radical center, what is your phrase?
The radical middle.
The radical middle, yeah. So, tell me about fascism. How could it apply here? There's no stormtroopers around.
Well, then you haven't. If you think not, then you haven't shown up for a Bush event. the reality is that, you know, my notion of the radical middle is that most people want a government which is of, by, and for we the people. That on the one hand doesn't create some sort of massive nanny state, you know, to use the right wingers' phrase. You know, we don't want to reinvent communism light or, you know, the USSR light. On the other hand, laissez-faire capitalism, you know, pure, unrestrained economic dog-eat-dog Ayn Randianism is equally toxic and equally destructive. And those are both kind of economic systems. Now you get into the political system, and the whole idea of the founding of this country was to balance the dynamic tension between those two, between the needs of society, the social contract that we all have with each other, protecting the commons, taking care of the least among us, protecting the rights of minorities, to balance that with making sure that people have an opportunity to do what they want in their lives, to have, you know, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to make a living, you know, and even to get rich here in America.
Well,
and, you know, and so it's like, how do you do that? And there's this middle road, as it were, which I call the radical middle, and you know, today would be called radical liberalism, but I think back in 1940, 1950, it would have been considered mainstream thought in America.
Well, let's go back to, I think I took you astray with the radical middle, and that is what I said about fascism. And when you said,
yeah.
if you go into a George Bush event, yeah, all of a sudden you're pushed into a so-called free speech zone, you're surrounded by robocops, and that's what I mean. There are points in our history or methods of projecting the power of the state that seems inconsistent with democracy. But then, on the other hand, to go as far to say that it's Mussolini and Hitler, I mean, gee, that seems like a leap.
Well, what I think most people don't understand, Peter, is that Mussolini invented a new form of government, which was really nothing new. It went back, it goes way back. I mean, there's three historic ways that humans have been ruled. We've either been ruled, I mean, through the 7,000 years of modern civilization, setting aside tribal people who have always been, by and large, democratic and egalitarian, but what we call civilization. We've either been ruled by warlord kings who rule by threat of violence. We've been ruled by popes or theocrats or in the old biblical days, kings who had religious authority, who were ruled because God told them to or anointed them. And we've been ruled by the rich, which is a system, of governance called feudalism. And, in 1066, in 1514, or 1415, 1215, when King John was forced to sign the Magna Carta, that was the high point, not of the beginning of human rights, as many people think, and is unfortunately implied in many of our elementary school textbooks, but that was the high point of feudalism. That, you know, what had happened was the rich landowners went to King John and they said, well, you think you're the king and you think you're the big shot, but we really are the ones who own the land and we really have the power. And you're going to have to do what we say from now on, and you're going to have to give us rights. And in fact, you're going to have to give us the right to control you and how you behave. And King John was essentially forced to sign the Magna Carta. And now people like you and me, I mean, you know, the working folks, the peons, as it were, the serfs, got no rights whatsoever. They were still the property of the feudal lords. So that was the height of feudalism. So feudalism could be broadly defined as government being taken over by the rich. Rule by the rich through the appearance of government. In other words, King John appeared to be the guy who was the king, but the feudal lords are really running the show after the Magna Carta was signed and right up into the 16th and 17th centuries, or 14th and 15th anyway. And then the feudal lords were replaced by corporations who continue to run the show, you know, the East India Company and all that kind of thing. And so what Mussolini came up with was what he called originally corporatism in 1929, this idea that corporations had great power, great economic power, and the state had great political power and the ability to control police and army, and that you should combine the two and use the power of the police and the armies to protect the interests of the corporations and use the economic wealth and power of the corporations to control the people rather than using the force of government to control the people. And he called that first corporatism, and then a few years later he invented this word fascism, which was from the Italian fasce, which was the bundle of sticks with an axe sticking out of the top of it, which was the official symbol of the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire back, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Now, where have I seen that before? I think it's on the dollar bill.
Well, there's also one in the United States Senate on one of the podiums. Actually, there's a fasce.
Yeah, so it's actually E Pluribus Unum, right? Out of many one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, out of many one. I mean, on the dollar bill, you see in one hand the olive branch that the eagle is holding, and in the other hand, you see 13 arrows. You know,
it must be
arrows. So it's not quite the fasce, but the fasce itself, the actual technical literal fasce, does appear carved into the wood in the United States Senate. It's a couple hundred years old. But anyhow, Mussolini came up with this, and Hitler adopted it in large part, bringing business in. In fact, the very first concentration camp, 3 months after he came to power, sort of like Guantanamo Bay type, you know, it was just for enemy combatants, people who were outside the purview of the Geneva Conventions and not prisoners of war and had no rights, was built in Oranienburg, Germany, by a corporation that was a major contributor to Hitler's campaigns, just like Halliburton built Camp X-Ray at Guantanamo Bay and just got a huge multimillion-dollar contract to expand it. And this merging of corporate and state interests was the key to the early successes of Hitler. It certainly was the key to the successes of Franco in Spain and Mussolini in Italy. And it is what we are seeing now today. So in a very literal sense, I mean, people think of fascism as jackbooted thugs and ovens in which Jews are put to death and things like that. It's not. That was the consequence of, you know, a madman running a political system amok. Fascism, literally, the dictionary definition is the merging of state and corporate interests, and that's what we are seeing, and we have ever since Reagan became president. I mean, it's the overtly, it's what's called the conservative agenda, and it literally is fascism, and fascism is rising in the United States more rapidly now than it has at any time, except possibly during the Gilded Age.
My guest on the Peter Werby Show, Tom Hartman, author of We the People, A Call to Take Back America. It's an illustrated book. It's absolutely incredible. Neil Cohn did the illustrations. It's published by Corway Media, Inc. How's the best way to get it, Tom? Is it going to be in bookstores, or should we go to your website?
Well, you know, Amazon sells it. My website just links to that or to Corway's website. BarnesandNoble.com. All the online bookstores sell it. Unfortunately, we have not yet gotten distribution in the major chains. They can all order it. You can go into a Barnes & Noble store and order it, and 3 or 4 days later they'll have it for you. And we're trying to work it out now where they'll actually inventory the book. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. Corway's a small publisher. A lot of my books have been published by bigger publishers, you know, like Random House, and they can just, you know, kind of steamroll them in. But Corway's still working on it. So I encourage people to actually go to their local bookstore, particularly an independent bookstore, but if all that's available is a BNN, do that. And just order the book, and it'll come in a couple days later. And you know,
why did you want to do an illustrated, what sometimes called a comic book, as opposed to what you've done in the past? I mean, so much of what you've written, Unequal Protection and The Last Days of Ancient Sunlight, have had a great impact on people. Although it takes a certain level these days, particularly where everyone's used to People Magazine and television, to actually dive into a book that doesn't have any pictures. It's just all type. But that's where
most people don't even have the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this book is great bathroom reading. You know, you can pretty much open it anywhere and just boom, get right into one of the stories, because you know the chapters all pretty much stand alone, although there is a chronology to it. And I thought it was just remarkably accessible. I mean, it's not a book for kids, although I think anybody over 8 years old could read it and fully understand it. It really is a book for adults, and it's a book that adults can sit down and read in a few hours. It's 200 and some odd pages, but there's just, you know, not, and I don't mean this to pat myself on the head, but I mean there's just, we put a lot of effort, Neil Burke, who edited it as well, to just compress an enormous amount of information into a small space, and so it's very dense, actually.
But you're right. It reads well. I mean, you can actually almost in some cases read individual panels and find out startling information or summations of larger bodies of thought. So I think it's very valuable in that regard. And there's Tom Hartman leading the masses. I know you don't aspire on the cover. On the cover.
I'm now a cartoon character, Peter.
let me get back a little to fascism and classic fascism as to what could be a neo-corporate fascism. And that is to say that a couple of things that one doesn't expect in under fascism. One is dissent and two is elections. And first, going along the lines of dissent, I mean, here is Tom Hartman broadcasting. Tom is also, I think I said that earlier, a nationally syndicated talk show host. You can go to his site under his name and find his times. And here am I, you know, broadcasting on this station. And so I'd say, well, wait a minute. If we got fascism, how come we got Hartman and Werby and Earth First and people going to be showing up at the Republican National Convention, to say boo to Bush? I mean, that doesn't sound like fascism to me. That sounds like good old-fashioned democracy.
No. Well, there were protest movements against Hitler in the early days, too. Hitler, I mean, you know, what we have to be clear about is that Hitler went beyond fascism. Hitler started with fascism, ended up with a dictatorship, essentially. Mussolini not quite so badly. Franco nowhere near as much. But the reality is that if we're talking about pure fascism, which is a merger of corporate and state interests, then you have to maintain the illusion of democracy. You still let people vote. You still allow dissenting voices. But if the corporations are controlling the commons, if the corporations are controlling, for example, the vote by controlling the voting machines, or if they're controlling the airwaves and so they're controlling the information, then you allow on essentially what is token dissent, and point to it and say, see, aren't we liberal? Mm-hmm. Aren't, you know, in the classical sense, you know, aren't we broad-minded? And we're allowing dissenting views. And it just appears nobody wants to hear them. You know, it's that was what, for example, MSNBC was saying when they fired Phil Donahue before the memo was leaked, that he was fired for political reasons and that he had the highest ratings of any show on MSNBC, including Chris Matthews' show, which was regularly beating CNN. And so I see this growth of corporate power, particularly in the media, which is explicitly against the law in the United States, by the way. These are all violations of the Sherman Antitrust Act and other laws, you know, since then, of corporate media, you know, owning newspapers all across the United States, owning radio stations and television stations all across the United States. This incredible concentration of media where, you know, 14 companies control 90% of all magazines that are published in the United States and read. There's just a small handful of book publishers. Ultimately, I mean, you know, they've, you know, for, well, in any case. And this is, you know, the friendly face of fascism. It's really an economic / political system where the power of government to, as Jefferson idealized, to hold back the power of wealth is increasingly and steadily diminished, so that wealth rises up, takes control, and promotes laws that benefit itself. It cuts its own taxes. It makes people work harder and harder for less and less money. It makes them more and more insecure, so they're less willing to rebel or to speak out or to fight back. And there's this continuous, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, kind of revolving door between the political side and the corporate side, as we're seeing, you know, every day, particularly with the Bush administration. I mean, they've been so blatant about it, but they you know, the Clinton administration were not angels, and certainly the Bush-Reagan administrations were the first to really, really embrace this in a big way.
Well, Tom Hartman, talk to me a little about elections. I was talking with the syndicated columnist Alexander Coburn a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, here's the way elections look now. He said, progressive people go into a voting booth. They say, you know, I don't like either party, so I'm going to vote for Ralph Nader. You get in there and you say, you know, I don't want Bush to win. So you vote for the Democratic Party candidate, and then the machine registers it for Bush. So you have this progression through all three. How secure, in your estimation, and I know you talk about it in your book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America, that these new touch-tone voting machines really represent a threat to the last vestiges of democratic participation in elections?
Well, clearly they're not secure. Clearly they've been hacked. I'm strongly of the opinion that the election in Georgia, for example, in 2002, was hacked and rigged.
And stolen, then.
And there's no way to audit that because there's no paper trail.
But no, but stolen? Would you say then? Would you use
stolen?
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the record as you know, and you know, let them challenge me.
Tell us the story that you relate in your book, Are We the People, about Chuck Hagel. I think that. I mean,
yeah.
That's
where it began. You know, he was the first guy. He was the president of ES&S, the big election machine company. Sold those machines all over the state of Nebraska, and then quit his job and ran for senator from Nebraska. And in what the Washington Post called the upset election of the year, he defeated a popular incumbent Democrat by winning districts that had never in history, you know, or in 40 years, voted Democratic. Black districts, you know, working collar, blue collar working districts that had always voted Democratic, and And when I wrote a story about it for Common Dreams 2 years ago, and Bev Harris did a piece about it, and the Hill picked it up, and we heard from their reporter that Hagel had actually sent a staffer down to threaten him with legal action if he told the story, which he did. But it was kind of a one-day wonder. I mean, you know, it was considered a small scandal at that point because he'd been in Congress for 6 years by then, 7 years. But, I think that there is a very real problem with security. On the other hand, the security problem, I think, is diminishing because more and more people are becoming aware of these and more people are starting to speak up, and there's this real groundswell. And so I think that leads us to C, which is the big problem, and that is that in the last election, in the 2002 election, some 1.7 million votes didn't get counted because they were, quote, spoiled. The machines didn't count them right. The machines didn't boot right. When somebody tried to turn the machine on, the password didn't work. The machines crashed in midstream. You know, all kinds of things that were just, you would think these are just, hey, this is just, you know, stuff happens, right? The problem is that the vast majority of those happened in minority neighborhoods that historically vote Democratic. And very few of these happened in the white suburbs, particularly in the upper economic white suburbs, almost none of them. And it was the same companies with the same machines, the same, you know, repair guys, the same installers. And it wasn't because black people are incapable of pushing a button. These were, you know, the mythology that the right-wingers have been promoting ever since Florida is, you know, that they're just, you know, this implicit racism, you know, that they're just not as smart. It's nonsense. It has nothing to do with that. These were machines failing independent of the voters, and they just, by some huge coincidence, well over a million votes, simply never got registered in largely black districts across the United States.
Well, Tom, what is the failures. What's the message?
That's frankly, to me, more insidious than somebody hacking in.
Yeah. Sure.
And a lot easier to do.
I mean,
all they got to do is every 2 or 3 hours go over and unplug the machine from the wall and plug it back in. It reboots and it forgets all the votes that have been cast.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that process and the ability to hand the Senate to the Republicans, and there was like a 1% voting total difference between the two parties in 2002, it wasn't any landslide, history could have been much different. We might not be in the absolute total mess we're in Iraq right now. You know, we have actually 2 minutes left. And, of course, we look at your book, We the People, A Call to Take Back History, as you say, it covers a sweep of quite a bit of time. But what you last told me, if I was listening, I might say, you know what, I'm like the rest of the 50% of people in America in elections, in a presidential, I'm not going to vote. They're not even, I mean, it's bad enough that often these candidates look the same, and now I hear Tom Hartman saying that these crooks might not even count my ballot.
Well, and that's the problem. That's why it's so important to get people active about this. And, in fact, one of the main reasons why you're seeing the Republicans running so many negative ads is that research in the last 4 years has shown that negative ads do not have the effect of causing people to change their vote to, in other words, Bush running negative ads against Kerry don't cause people to vote for Bush. They cause people to not vote. And that's what they want. Negative ads are designed to drive down the number of people who are voting. They just shrug their shoulders and say a curse on all of them, and that's the only way the Republicans can win, because at least these right wing cranks who call themselves Republicans, because they really represent a small minority in the United States.
And of course, their stalwarts, their core, will come out. I mean, what they're hoping.
Oh yeah.
They're hoping that people like, I mean, well, and you tell me if I'm speaking accurately, if I'm saying we, but people like us who aren't anywhere near completely satisfied with John Kerry. He, you know, people have called him Bush Light. People have said that it's simply the lesser of the two evils. But Noam Chomsky has said, if you have a lesser of two evils, take it.
Yeah. Well, and what we can expect to see, I think, in the next 6 months from the Bush campaign is there will be attack ads targeted toward middle-of-the-roaders and conservatives saying that John Kerry's the most liberal guy ever, and there will be attack ads targeted against you, people like you and me, saying John Kerry, you know, really isn't a true liberal. He really just says what has to, you know, what he thinks is going to get him elected, blah-de-blah. So that both groups will choose not to go to the polls, and that's the real hope. That's about the only hope the Republicans have right now, and we have to see through that. We have to get people engaged and get them active. We must.
Yeah, actually, I saw an ad, and I rarely watch television, saw an ad last night saying that John Kerry is more liberal than Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy. Ooh.
Yeah, and if that's true, then who the hell needs Ralph Nader? Pardon my language.
All right. Tom Hartmann, thanks for joining me on the Peter Werby Show. Go to Tom Hartmann's website. I'm not going to spell it for you because if you spell it anyway, you will get to Tom Hartmann's website. It's T-H-O-M. I just said I wouldn't. H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N. Tom has a nationally syndicated daily talk show. Tons of terrific books. The latest, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Tom, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Peter.
That's it for Night Call this week. As you know, normally we broadcast till 2 a.m., but because it's a holiday weekend, we presented these two recorded interviews. I hope you enjoyed them. Remember, there'll be no show next week, so we'll talk live on Sunday, January 8th. A Happy New Year to all of you.
This is WRIF.com.
The lowdown on the hottest concerts in town are only a click away with a singular wireless concert connection. Log on to the concerts page right now at WRIF.com to find out where your favorite bands are appearing live in concert across the Motor City. Keep it right here on the Riff for your chance to text in to win tickets, backstage passes, autographed rock merchandise, and more. Exclusively on your singular wireless phone. The singular wireless concert connection from Singular Wireless, raising the bar at 101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks.
Want to get to the next level of your career? If working harder at your job won't help, work smarter by earning a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix, the nation's largest accredited private university. It's college designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn a degree in only 2 to 3 years. To find out how, call 1-800-664-1391. At the University of Phoenix Detroit campus, the small classes are designed for working adults with busy lives. You'll cover more material in less time with convenient classes in the evening or on the weekend. At University of Phoenix, you can do this. Call now for a brochure on degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. 1-800-664-1391. Programs vary by campus. Call University of Phoenix now, 1-800-664-1391. That's 1-800-664-1391.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Greater Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate in a contest. Void where prohibited. Prizes are non-transferable or redeemable for cash. 101 WRIF reserves the right to substitute any prize for one of equal or greater value. By participating in the contest, contestants consent to the broadcast and or publication of their name, voice, face, and or likeness without compensation. Participants listening online at www.wrif.com may receive audio that is delayed by as much as 60 seconds later than the over-the-air transmission, which could potentially affect chances of winning. General contest rules are available online at www.wrif.com or during regular business hours at the WRIF Studios, 1 Radio Plaza, Detroit, Michigan, 48220.
this is Matt Futrell from the Westland Fire Department in Michigan, and I'd just like to wish you guys all the best and hope you guys return home safely.
Happy holidays from all of us at 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
I can still see the light at the end of the tunnel shine through the dark times, even when I lose my mind. But it feels like no one in the world is listening, and I can't ever seem to make the right decisions. I walk around in the same haze. I'm still caught in my same ways. I'm losing time in these strange days, but somehow I always know the right things to say. I don't know what time it is or who's the one. one to blame for this? Do I believe what I can't see? And how do you know which way the wind blows? 'Cause I can feel it all around. I'm lost between the sound. And just when I think I know that she goes. Nobody ever knows the reasons why. Bury it deep so far that you can't see. If you're like me, who has a broken heart in your sleeve? Pains and struggles that you know so well. Either time don't, it can't, or it just won't tell. I'm not the type to say I told you so. I think the hardest part of holding on is letting it go. I don't know what time it is, or who's the one to blame for this. Do I believe what I can't see? And how do you know which way the wind? Sound. And just when I think I know that she goes before now.
It's the Riff 101 WRIF, Detroit. Goodbye for now from POD, that is your latest. Had some Nirvana in there as well. It is 101 WRIF, everything that rocks in HD radio. My name is Dave Duran. I hope your Christmas celebration was everything that you wanted to be. Enjoyable, memorable, relaxing, and fun. Family and friends. I know mine was. And with Christmas 05 in the books, we look to next Saturday night at the Palace, Crew Year's Eve with 101 WRIF. It is going to be a bash, one that you should not and cannot miss. It is mandatory. Mandatory that you go to Crew Year's Eve. We've got Mind Candy and Overloaded, two cool Detroit bands in the Singular and the Captain Morgan Rooms, respectively. DJ Sparky going to be doing some tunes prior to all of that. Doors open around 6-ish p.m., and it's going to be an all-night, all-evening affair. I think the crew will be on at midnight. So you'll be ringing in 2006, a big time with Motley Crue and The Riff, next Saturday night at the Palace. If you need more information, all you need to do is log on to WRIF.com. All your Crew Year's Eve information is right there. Speaking of WRIF.com, if you'd like to send me an email, that'd be cool. It's Dave at WRIF.com, D-A-V-E at WRIF.com. Check the email relentlessly. We've got GNFNR on the way, Three Doors Down, and the Beasties. In, actually, we're back in two on the Riff.
This is WRIF.com.
Tired of expensive phone bills? Standard phone service can cost a minimum of $30. And for the unlimited packages, it's anywhere from $40 to $70. After adding all the taxes and fees, the question is it really worth it? I'd like to introduce you to Corecom's new product, Voice Over Internet Protocol, or simply VoIP. This innovation allows you to talk to anyone around the world by using your broadband internet connection. With its advanced features, VoIP is revolutionizing telephone service as we know it today. Even more exciting is that this can all be done at a fraction of the price of traditional phone service. Why would you pay more when you can pay less? If you've got high-speed internet access, Corecom can offer you a package for as low as $15.99 per month. When was the last time your phone company offered you any package options that low? As an added bonus, if you call within the next 10 minutes, Corecom will throw in 1 month free. All you have to do is call 1-866-680-CORE. That's 1-866-680-CORE. Call now and mention promotion code WRIF. Or if you register online, type in promotion code WRIF to get your free month. Corecom, revolutionizing phone service one call at a time.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
Hi, this is Colleen McDonald, president of Holiday Automotive Group. You know us as Holiday Chevrolet in Farmington Hills, Livonia Chrysler Jeep in Livonia, and Century Dodge in Taylor. We know it's never fun to have to bring your car in for service, and worse yet, if you've been in an accident. But rest assured, our service staff is here and ready to help you. To make an appointment, go online at weloveholiday.com. It's that easy.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
We also have special discounts if you need body work on your vehicle and accept all insurance companies. Call us at 866-867-0909 for more information. We're the Holiday Automotive Group. We've got you covered from Downriver to Oakland County.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
You're listening to WRIF.
Back in two. As promised, with the Beasties, it's On the Riff. 101 WRIF, everything that rocks.
Everything that rocks.
TNF and R on the Riff, 101 WRIF with Three Doors Bob landing in London. It's on the Riff.
I woke up today in London as the plane was touching down. All I could think about was Monday. Maybe I'd be back around. If this keeps me away much longer, I don't know what I would do. You've got to understand it's a hard life that I'm going through. And when the night falls in around me, I don't think I'll make it through. I'll use your light to guide the way. All I think about is you. Getting kind of crazy, and New York's getting kind of cold. I keep my head from getting lazy. I just can't wait to get back home. And all these days I spend. Think about you.
Three Doors Down with Bob Seger, landing in London. It's on the Riff, 101 WRIF, everything that rocks. My name is Dave Duran, Dave at WRIF.com. If you are so inclined to send me an email, Christmas come and gone. And if you didn't get the cell phone or gadget that you wanted, well, then you need to stop by Wireless Toys. And by the way, if you're looking for the hottest events that are going on with 101 WRIF and beyond, you need to log into WRIF.com and check out the events page for the upcoming Riff parties and events. And it's brought to you by our friends at Wireless Toys. They are the proud sponsor of the Riff Street Team. We use that stuff. You should use that stuff as well. Now, tomorrow, when you go in there to exchange or return or whatever you're going to do, even if you're not going there specifically, if you're just kind of out and you see one, stop by and walk in and mention Riff Rocks. They're going to give you a complimentary hands-free device for the cell phone that you do have. See a Wireless Toy Store for all the details. It's from your station that rocks your weekend and the holidays. 101 WRAF, The Riff. We are back in three with Seether, Smashing Pumpkins, and STP. Stick around.
Listening to WRIF.com.
Every successful career has a beginning. Have you started yours yet? Turbocharge your opportunities by calling ITT Technical Institutes at 1-800-903-1919. Nationwide, thousands have launched technical careers after graduating from an ITT Tech. If you have an interest in electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, they teach skills that many employers look for. Most programs provide a hands-on education and can help you build your knowledge base and technical skills. Classes meet just a few times a week to help you balance school and your job. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, and career assistance is available once you graduate. Develop technical skills at an ITT Tech and discover a whole new world of opportunity. Call now for a brochure at 1-800-903-1919. That's ITT Tech, 1-800-903-1919. 1-800-903-1919.
WRIF.com.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Radio Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate in the contest. Void where prohibited. Prizes are non-transferable or redeemable for cash. 101 WRIF reserves the right to substitute any prize for one of equal or greater value. By participating in the contest, contestants consent to the broadcast and or publication of their name, voice, face, and or likeness without compensation. Participants listening online at www.wrif.com may receive audio that is delayed by as much as 60 seconds later than the over-the-air transmission, which could potentially affect chances of winning. General contest rules are available online at www.wrif.com or during regular business hours at the WRIF Studios, 1 Radio Plaza, Detroit, Michigan, 48220.
You're Smashing Pumpkins on the Riff.
The world is a vampire.
I just said that.
Sent to drain. Secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flames. And what do I get? For my pain. Betray desires. And I.
What's up? This is Sean.
And John from Cedar.
And you're rocking with Dave Duran on 101 WRIF.
The Riff.
If I gave you the truth, would it keep you alive? Though I'm closer to wrong than no further from right. And now I'm convinced on the inside something's wrong with me. Convinced on the inside so much more than me. That can salvage the lie, but I'm trying to keep my intentions disguised. And now I'm deprived of my conscience, and something's got to give. Deprived of my conscience, this all belongs to me.
JP, dead and bloated on the riff. I feel bloated from the holiday weekend, man. I've survived on beer and Christmas cookies. I don't know about you, but I guess I'm going to have to diet. Well, whatever. Hey, we got some Seven Dust coming up. Matter of fact, their latest called Ugly. We're going to get ugly with them in just a little bit. They got The Offspring on the way, some Billy Idol as well. Revelation Theory, a tune called Slow Burn. That's all coming up as well. We are back to your Riff Rock in two.
This is WRIF.com.
The lowdown on the hottest concerts in town are only a click away with a singular wireless concert connection. Log on to the concerts page right now at WRIF.com to find out where your favorite bands are appearing live in concert across the Motor City. Keep it right here on the Riff for your chance to text in to win tickets, backstage passes, autographed rock merchandise, and more exclusively on your singular wireless phone. The singular wireless concert connection from Singular Wireless, raising the bar at 101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks.
Want to get to the next level of your career? If working harder at your job won't help, work smarter by earning a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix, the nation's largest accredited private university. It's college designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn a degree in only 2 to 3 years. To find out how, call 1-800-664-1391. At the University of Phoenix Detroit campus, the small classes are designed for working adults with busy lives. You'll cover more material in less time with convenient classes in the evening or on the weekend. At University of Phoenix, you can do this. Call now for a brochure on degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. 1-800-664-1391. Programs vary by campus. Call University of Phoenix now, 1-800-664-1391. That's 1-800-664-1391.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Greater Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary.
Riff presents Crew Year's Eve with Motley Crue. December 31st at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Tickets available now at the Palace box office and at all Ticketmaster outlets. Plus, keep listening for your chance to win them from your exclusive Crew Year's Eve station, 101 WRIF Detroit. Everything that rocks.
Thank you. Join the Riff's Dog of Rock, Doug Podell, this Wednesday night and show off your ball-dropping countdown style with Wild Woody's pre-New Year's blowout. Savor the champagne-toasted midnight and the cash balloon drop with the doctor and the girls of Extreme Detroit Magazine. New Year's only comes twice this year. Wild Woody's pre-New Year's blowout, this Wednesday night. Wild Woody's on Gratiot South of 14 Mile in Roseville with 101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks.
Offspring on the Riff, 101 WRIF Detroit. I'm Dave Duran, Dave at WRIF.com. If you want to do the email thing, Truth is Currency is the name of this band's CD. It is New York-based Revelation Theory. Here's Rich and the Boys, tune called Slow Burn. If you haven't heard it yet, crank it up. It's pretty cool. It's on the Riff, everything that rocks. Broadcasting in HD radio, we are 101 WRIF, everything that rocks. Shine Down on the Riff 101 WRIF, everything that rocks. Their latest from the Us and Them CD, Save Me. Those guys have been to the D a few times. Most recently, they were in town, I guess, now about a week ago or thereabouts. They were at Harpo's for the big Riffmas show with Hailstorm and Silvertide along for the ride. Maybe you were there. Silvertide, by the way, returns to Harpo's with Trapped on Saturday, February the 18th. WRIF.com has any and all of your concert information. Speaking of concerts, we've got Crew Year's Eve coming up this coming weekend, Saturday at the Palace with 101 WRIF. You need to be there. We've got some crew on the way, so stick around for that. We're back to your Riff Rock in two.
This is WRIF.com.
Tired of expensive phone bills? Standard phone service can cost a minimum of $30. And for the unlimited packages, it's anywhere from $40 to $70. After adding all the taxes and fees, the question is it really worth it? I'd like to introduce you to Corecom's new product, Voice over Internet Protocol, or simply VoIP. This innovation allows you to talk to anyone around the world by using your broadband internet connection. With its advanced features, VoIP is revolutionizing telephone service as we know it today. Even more exciting is that this can all be done at a fraction of the price of traditional phone service. Why would you pay more when you can pay less? If you've got high-speed internet access, Corecom can offer you a package for as low as $15.99 per month. When was the last time your phone company offered you any package options that low? As an added bonus, if you call within the next 10 minutes, Corecom will throw in 1 month free. All you have to do is call 1-866-680-CORE. That's 1-866-680-CORE. Call now and mention promotion code WRIF, or if you register online, type in promotion code WRIF to get your free month. Corecom, revolutionizing phone service, one call at a time.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
Hi, this is Colleen McDonald, president of Holiday Automotive Group. You know us as Holiday Chevrolet in Farmington Hills, Livonia Chrysler Jeep in Livonia, and Century Dodge in Taylor. We know it's never fun to have to bring your car in for service, and worse yet, if you've been in an accident. But rest assured, our service staff is here and ready to help you. To make an appointment, go online at weloveholiday.com. It's that easy.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
We also have special discounts if you need body work on your vehicle and accept all insurance companies. Call us at 866-867-0909 for more information. We're the Holiday Automotive Group. We've got you covered from Downriver to Oakland County.
Get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV, get a car, get a truck, get an SUV.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Yellow Bedwetter.
What? It's not?
Oh, Yellow Ledbetter. I'm sorry. Here's Pearl Jam. I knew that. He's making a joke. A failed attempt, I might add. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
Once I saw him on a beach, so without a day.
concert season rocking.
Listen for your tickets to some of the hottest shows in the Motor City, like Motley Crue, The Riffs, New Year's Bash, December 31st at the Palace of Auburn Hills.
From your concert station in the Motor City,
101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks.
Thank you.
start finish right there. Dr. Feelgood from the crew in town on Saturday for Crew Year's Eve with 101 WRIF New Riff. Make sure you're there. Here's Wasteland from 10 years. Everything that rocks is on the riff.
Change my attempt, good intentions.
Everything that rocks, 101 WRIF, the Riff, HD Radio. That's what we are broadcasting in. If you need to know more about HD Radio, all you need to do is go to WRIF.com. It is all right there for you. While you're there, visit the Riff Digital Music Store. You can download all your favorite Riff Rock and then some, 99 cents a track. You download it, and it's yours to keep forever and ever until you die, or whichever comes first. Plus, we've got the Riff Rock Shop there as well, where you can go and get your Riff gear, get all swagged out before you go to the Crew Year's Eve at the Palace this coming Saturday with the Riff. You can design your own Riff shirt at WRIF.com, the Riff Rock Shop. So check that out if you haven't already. Bookmark it, add it to your favorites, WRIF.com. Visit it often. My name is Dave Duran. We've got Korn, Twisted Transistor on the way. We'll also hear from AC/DC and Radiohead. Back to your Riff Rocket 2.
WRIF.com. Every successful career has a beginning. Have you started yours yet? Turbocharge your opportunities by calling ITT Technical Institutes at 1-800-903-1919. Nationwide, thousands have launched technical careers after graduating from an ITT Tech. If you have an interest in electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, they teach skills that many employers look for. Most programs provide a hands-on education and can help you build your knowledge base and technical skills. Classes meet just a few times a week to help you balance school and your job. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, and career assistance is available once you graduate. Develop technical skills at an ITT Tech and discover a whole new world of opportunity. Call now for a brochure at 1-800-903-1919. That's ITT Tech, 1-800-903-1919. 1-800-903-1919.
This is WRIM.com.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Radio Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate in a contest. Void where prohibited. Prizes are not transferable or redeemable for cash. 101 WRIF reserves the right to substitute any prize for one of equal or greater value. By participating in the contest, contestants consent to the broadcast and or publication of their name, voice, face, and or likeness without compensation. Participants listening online at www.wrif.com may receive audio that is delayed by as much as 60 seconds later than the over-the-air transmission, which could potentially affect chances of winning. General contest rules are available.
Riff Rocks with Radiohead.
Yeah. very special. I wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong.
Twisted Transistor is the latest from Korn, from their See You on the Other Side CD. I like Korn. I love Korn. But I can't have a lot of it. It gets stuck in my poop. It's on the rim.
Heaven's at one way.
On the Riff 101, WRIF, Everything That Rocks, Word Has It, AC/DC working on new stuff for a new CD, and then they will tour. If you've never seen AC/DC, it is a must-see, something you got to do. Something else you got to do, New Year's Eve, you got to hang out with our own Screamin' Scott Randall. He will be ringing in 06 at Wild Woody's on Gratiot, just south of 14 Mile in Roseville on New Year's Eve. Now, that's starting at 7 o'clock. Now, remember, on Wednesday, there's a New Year's Eve pre-party with the Docker Rock, Doug Podell, and then we flip Screamin' over there, and he will party with you on New Year's Eve. And there's going to be plenty of party favors, plenty of prizes, some fun and games with Screamin', a cash balloon drop, and a champagne toast at midnight. So make plans to hang out with the Riff and Screamin' Scott starting at 7 at Wild Woody's in Roseville on New Year's Eve. Okay? Okay. My name is Dave Duran. Black Crow is on the way. Some Pink Floyd, Avenged Sevenfold. Bat Country, have you heard it? You will in two on the Riff.
This is WRIF.com.
The lowdown on the hottest concerts in town are only a click away with a singular wireless concert connection. Log on to the concerts page right now at WRIF.com to find out where your favorite bands are appearing live in concert across the Motor City. Keep it right here on the Riff for your chance to text in to win tickets, backstage passes, autographed rock merchandise, and more exclusively on your singular wireless phone. The singular wireless concert connection from Singular Wireless, raising the bar at 101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks.
Want to get to the next level of your career? If working harder at your job won't help, work smarter by earning a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix, the nation's largest accredited private university. It's college designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn a degree in only 2 to 3 years. To find out how, call 1-800-664-1391. At the University of Phoenix Detroit campus, the small classes are designed for working adults with busy lives. You'll cover more material in less time with convenient classes in the evening or on the weekend. At University of Phoenix, you can do this. Call now for a brochure on degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. 1-800-664-1391. Programs vary by campus. Call University of Phoenix now, 1-800-664-1391. That's 1-800-664-1391.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Greater Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate.
Your exclusive Crew Year's Eve station.
I got to thank you for a very kind words on stage to WRIF.
And I always say it's one of the greatest radio stations there is, and it's because you guys give people what they want.
Tickets available now at the Pilots box office and at all Ticketmaster outlets.
Keep listening for your chance to win them.
From 101 WRIF Detroit, everything that rocks.
Yeah.
rock.
You're at 1 minute on the Riff.
Buy at the next at WRIF.com. Just 99 cents gets you the tunes you love for your very own. Download it right to your PC.
Your Riff Rock. Online at WRIF.com.
I like it.
Everything that rocks.
Leave them kids alone.
Hey, Detroit, if I'm Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes, and I do believe I am, then I must be shaking my moneymaker. Yeah, shaking my moneymaker on Detroit's home of rock and roll, WRIM.
Let me light your candle, calls the mama. I'm so all dependent, I just around. I don't think about it, the words, and I'm a man, a great appearance. I know you got another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I'm gonna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so you can play. Let me light your candle, calls the mama. I'm so all dependent and just around. Candle calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I get around. Candle calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around.